May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our meditation this morning is based on all three of our readings. You may be seated. Dear saints, there is an account of an extremely dedicated group of people striving together for a common goal. This group had capable leadership. A committee of thought leaders had carefully crafted the mission for this group. Vision casting had taken place so that the goal was clear and always in view. The core values of the organization had been laid out. Expectations had been effectively communicated. The work had been planned and prepared for. Financing was in place. Strategic tasks were assigned. Goals were put in place that were easily measured. A system of checks and balances was put in place so no one person could derail the project. Work proceeded. It was going well. No project in anyone's memory had gone so smoothly. Nothing could stop the work. It was too well planned. The leadership was strong. The project was almost complete. Until suddenly, it all ended. Everything came to a screeching halt. The leadership abandoned the project. Organization collapsed. The workers scattered. It was an utter failure. Such is the account of the Tower of Babel, as we heard described in Genesis chapter 11. The builders at Babel should have known better. They should have known the story of the descendants of Cain, people like Lamech, Jabal, Zillah. We are told they were great musicians, forgers of all sorts of tools. They were powerful and influential. In Genesis 4, Lamech is even recorded as saying, "I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold." Mighty man of worldly influence, to be sure. What became of their greatness? Washed away in the flood, erased from the earth. Their desire to live for themselves was judged. And what of the line of Seth, Cain's younger brother? Nothing is said of their great human accomplishments. Nothing is said of their might and their power and their influence. Instead, Genesis 4 simply records these words. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. They trusted God. And a descendant of Seth and his family was saved from the flood on the ark. Yes, the builders of the Tower of Babel should have known better than to disobey the voice of the Lord, the voice that said, "Go into all the earth, be fruitful, and multiply." Their fate reminds us of Psalm 127, when Solomon writes, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." And so the Lord put an end to the city and to the tower. He thwarted the plans of mankind to build a tower up to him, thwarted their attempts to come to him on their own terms. It wasn't hard. He simply confused their languages so they couldn't understand one another. Hard to undertake such a project when you can't discuss the plans or tell people what to do. That was it. Mankind's quest to build a tower to God was over. The people scattered, just as God had commanded them to do in the first place. Luther's words that we read ring true. "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him." We build our own towers, not usually quite as grand as was built at Babel, but we think we can make our own way to God. If I could just be a better person, God would love me more, or he would bless me more. If I just tried harder to overcome that sin or that vice, I could grow closer to God. Instead of buildings, we may construct elaborate facades around ourselves to make ourselves look better or holier or happier than we really are. Social media is great for that. We construct intricate rationalizations in our own minds as to why we should be angry with this person or not like that person or be offended by this group. We attempt to justify ourselves before God. We make this excuse or that excuse, trying to build our own bridge back to the Lord instead of simply trusting in His forgiveness. Beware. God wants to tear down all those construction projects as well. He tears them down for your own good, so that He can build something better. At Babel, the common language was used to facilitate the project. God thwarted them by confusing their language, but now at Pentecost, God sends His Spirit to overcome that language barrier so that He can give His word to the people. People who could not understand one another according to their native tongues, people from all over the Roman Empire, now hearing God's word proclaimed to them in their own language. Like the people at Babel, these people would scatter, but not out of frustration, but out of joy for the word of God that they had been given, going back to their towns and villages to tell others what had been told to them. This word, spoken by the mouths of the apostles and inspired by the Holy Spirit, this word, which our lesson from Acts describes as, quote, the mighty works of God. Which works are those? Those accomplished by Jesus Christ on the cross and in His resurrection from the dead. The mighty works of God for you, for your salvation. The Holy Spirit testifies to Christ and what He has done, just as Jesus predicted would happen in John 14. When the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. And in today's gospel reading, Jesus says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The work of the Holy Spirit is to declare the mighty works of God, to proclaim clearly in whatever language is necessary what God in Christ has done for mankind, what God in Christ has done for you. That's what Pentecost is all about. Your salvation was won on the cross. Your death was defeated by Christ, defeating death at His resurrection. And the Holy Spirit works to bring that salvation to you, to renew it in you, to keep you in faith. How? By His word. His word that you read and meditate upon, His word proclaimed to you from the pulpit, read from the lectern, proclaimed by faithful pastors, His word poured out on you in baptism, His word placed on your tongue in the body and blood of our Lord, the word which is Christ. See, on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit began a building project of His own. It's the original Build Back Better. Not a project of man's making. Not a way for human beings to work themselves up to God. No, the architect of this project is God Himself. The plans for this project are in the mind of God. This building is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Himself, the stone that the builders rejected, has become the cornerstone. Jesus prophesied the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands. That new temple is His body, and in Jesus you are being built up to be the dwelling place of God by the Spirit. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is building Christ's church, a holy nation, a people that are dependent on God for everything, a people that put aside their own interests for the good of others and for the good of the gospel. That people is you. You are each a temple of the Holy Spirit, and collectively you are built together as his church, the bride of Christ, and of your bodies. St. Paul writes, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." The Holy Spirit is the guarantee. The guarantee that God's building project will be a success. His word is effective. It creates faith. It sustains faith. It builds up the church. When Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus replied, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Even hell cannot tear down what the Holy Spirit has built up. This building that you see here, this building built with human hands, even your own hands, doing a lot of work repairing and restoring that building, it will not endure forever. One day this building and all the church buildings will be no more. But time, the world, and even the devil will not prevail against you, God's chosen people, because the Spirit builds you. No tower is needed to go up to God. God has come down to you in the person of Jesus. And he has ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he continually makes intercession for you, continually pleading to the Father on your behalf for the forgiveness of your sins. And he has given you his Spirit, that you might be built up in Jesus Christ, both now and into eternity. In his name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ.